Hamsa,
Aham,
Cha,
Tvam,
Charya,
Sakhayau,
Manasayanau,
Adbhutam,
Antara,
Vaukaha,
Sahasra,
Pravparivatsaran,
Hamsav aham chatvam charya
sakyayau
manasayanau
adbhutam antara
vauka
sahasra parivat
sarvam
hamsav aham
satvam charya
Sakhayau manasayanau
Adbhutam antaratvauka
Sahasra parivatsaran
Hamsav
aham
chatvam charya
Sakhayau manasayanau
Adbhutam
antaravauka
Sahasra parivatsaran
Hamsa,
two swans,
aham,
I,
cha,
and,
tvam,
you,
cha,
also,
arya,
all great soul,
sakhayau,
friends,
manasa ayanau,
together in the Manasa lake.
Adbhutam
became
Antara
separated
Va
indeed
Okaha
from the original home
Sahasra
thousands
Pari
successively
Vatsaran
years.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada.
My dear gentle friend, both you and I are exactly like two swans. We live together in the same heart, which is just like the Manasa lake. Although we have been living together for many thousands of years, we are still far away from our original home.
Purport.
The original home of the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, both the Lord and the living entities live together very peacefully. Since the living entity remains engaged in the service of the Lord, they both share a blissful life in the spiritual world. However, when the living entity wants to enjoy himself, he falls down into the material world. even while he is in that position, the Lord remains with him as the Supersoul, his intimate friend. Because of his forgetfulness, the living entity does not know that the Supreme Lord is accompanying him as the Supersoul. In this way, the living entity remains conditioned in each and every millennium. Although the Lord follows him as a friend, the living entity became, because of forgetful materialistic existence, does not recognize him. So, here we can very nicely understand how important knowledge is. We need to realize who are we and who is the Lord and what is the relationship between us and the Lord. Therefore, we need to strive for getting vigyan. Vigyan or realization. We need to realize who we are. Now, I would like to today maybe do it a bit less traditional. There are wonderful excerpts from Purpose of Srila Prabhupada, and well, in the 10th canto, which are very much relevant to also to this point. And so I'll read from that, and please just try to absorb in the mood of Srila Prabhupada. He is giving something wonderful. It is affection, the love for us, love for all the jivas, and he is giving the perfect solutions how we can again come back home, back to Godhead. So try to contemplate about what we will read now, because those are extremely important passages of what Srila Prabhupada's teachings. And then we will also read, and actually we will conclude by the reading of from the chapter when Brahma steals the boys. This is actually the last purpose Srila Prabhupada had written, and there is something special about this. If you can contemplate on how these instructions relate to you, there is no way how you can remain hard-hearted. There is no way how you can remain willing to be attached to this material world and not giving it fully up. So as we were reading about about the vigyan. So now let's see how Srila Prabhupada defines vigyan. So reading from it's 10th canto, 2nd chapter, 35th verse. Vigyan means transcendental knowledge of the Supreme Personality. Vigyan is also experienced knowledge. Transcendental knowledge has to be accepted by the descending process of disciplic succession, as Brahma presents the knowledge of Krishna in the Brahma Samhita. Brahma Samhita is Vigyan as realized by Brahma's transcendental experience. And in that way, he presented the form and the pastimes of Krishna in the transcendental abode. Agyana Bhida means that which can be meshed, all kinds of speculations. In ignorance, people are imagining the form of the Lord. Sometimes he has no form, and sometimes he has form according to their different imaginations. But the presentation of Krishna in the Brahma Samhita is vigyan, scientific, experience knowledge, given by Brahma and accepted by Lord Chaitanya. There is no doubt about it. Shri Krishna's form, Shri Krishna's flute, Krishna's color, everything is reality. Here it is said that the Vijnanam is always defeating all kinds of speculative knowledge. Therefore, the demigods pray, without your appearing as Krishna, you are neither Abhyana Vijnan, the nations of speculative knowledge, nor Vijnan would be realized. Agyata Pipada Parjanam, by your appearance, your speculative knowledge of ignorance will be vanquished, and the real experienced knowledge of authorities like Lord Brahma will be established. I'm getting out of thought. Now, we are reading from the second chapter, 31st verse. This is about how the demigods were praying to the Lord when he was in the womb of Mother Devaki. So the 31st verse, and I can read also the text. O Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee, and therefore you are known as a desire tree, Pancha Kalpataru. When Acharas completed a shelter under your lotus feet in order to cross the fierce ocean of nations, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And therefore, you are very merciful to your other devotees. You accept this method to help them. Now, this statement reveals how the merciful Acharyas and the merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead together help the serious devotee who wants to return home, back to Godhead. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his teachings to Rupa Goswami, said, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. One can achieve the seat of Bhakti Lata devotional service by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. The duty of Guru is to find the means according to the time, the circumstances and the candidate by which one can be induced to render devotional service which Krishna accepts from a candidate who wants to be successful in going back home, back to Godhead. After wandering throughout the universe, a fortunate person within this material world seeks shelter of such a guru or acharya who trains the devotee in the suitable way to render service according to the circumstances so that the Supreme Personality of Godhead will accept the service. This makes it easier for the candidate to reach the ultimate destination. The acharya's duty, therefore, is to find the means by which devotees may render service according to the references from Shastra. Rupa Goswami, for example, in order to help subsequent devotees, published such devotional books as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Thus, it is the duty of the acharya to publish books that will help future candidates take up the method of service and become eligible to return home, back to Godhead, by the mercy of the Lord. In our Krishna consciousness movement, this same path is being prescribed and followed. Thus, the devotees have been advised to refrain from the four sinful activities, illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling, and to chant 16 rounds daily. These are bona fide instructions. Krishna will accept a devotee who strictly follows the regulative principles and the method prescribed in the various books and literatures published by the authorities. The acharya gives the suitable methods for crossing the ocean of nations by accepting the boat of the Lord's lotus feet, and if this method is strictly followed, the followers will ultimately reach the destination by the grace of the Lord. This method is called Acharya Sampradaya. It is therefore said, Sampradaya vihinaya mantraste nishphala mataha paramapurana. The Acharya Sampradaya is strictly bona fide. Therefore, one must accept the Acharya Sampradaya, otherwise one's endeavor will be futile. Okay, and now we'll move on to the 11th chapter, which are the
the childhood pastimes of Krishna. Now, I hope it's understood. To get the knowledge, to get the vigyan, you need to accept the mercy of the achara, mercy of the guru. And how to approach him, pranipata pariprasna sevaya. Now, as soon as Krishna and Balaram, or it's from the text 10.11.37, as soon as Krishna and Balaram were a little grown up, they were meant to take for taking care of the calves. Although born of a very well-to-do family, they still had to take care of the calves. This was a system of education. Those who were not in Brahmana families were not meant for academic education. The Brahmanas were trained in the literary academics education, the Kshatriyas were trained to take care of the state, and the Vaishyas learn how to cultivate the land and to take care of the cows and calves. There was no need to waste time going to school to be falsely educated and later increase the number of unemployed. Krishna and Balaram taught us by their personal behavior. Krishna took care of the cows and played his flute, and Balaram took care of agricultural activities with his plow in his hands. So here Srila Prabhupada points clearly that what actually the necessity is. What is the reality? So what the education is about? The education is about how to use this human life so we can achieve Krishna prema. Okay, and now we will move on to the 13th chapter, which this is the stealing of the boys by Lord Brahma. Now, from the text 53, Srila Prabhupada writes, "No one but Vishnu has any independence. If we develop consciousness of this fact, then we are in actual Krishna consciousness. We should always remember that Krishna is the only Supreme Master and that everyone else is his servant. Ekala Ishvara Krishna, Ara Sabha Vritya. Be one even Narayan or Lord Shiva. Everyone is subordinate to Krishna. Shiva Virinchi Nutam. Even Baladev is subordinate to Krishna. This is a fact." So, this is a fact. Now, what about us? We are the jivas who are serving the Lord. We should never think being equal to the Lord. One should understand that no one is independent, for everything is part and parcel of Krishna and is acting and moving by the supreme desire of Krishna. This understanding is consciousness. This consciousness is Krishna consciousness. Kala, or the time factor, has many assistants, such as Svabhava, Samskara, Kama, Karma, and Guna. Svabhava, or one's own nature, is formed according to the association of the material qualities. Karanam Guna Sango, Syasat Asat Yoni Janmasu. Sat and Asat Svabhava. One's higher and lower nature is formed by association with the different qualities, namely Sattvaguna, Rajaguna, and Tamaguna. We should gradually come to the Sattvaguna so that we may avoid the two lower gunas. This can be done if we regularly discuss Srimad Bhagavatam and hear about Krishna's activities. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. All the activities of Krishna described in Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning even with the pastimes concerning Putana, are transcendental. Therefore, by hearing and discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, the Rajaguna and Tamaguna are subdued, so that only Sattvaguna remains. Then Rajaguna and Tamaguna cannot do us any harm. Varnashrama Dharma, therefore, is essential, for it can bring people to Sattvaguna. Tada rajas tamo bhava kama lobha dayas chaye. Tamaguna and rajaguna increases lust and greed, which implicate a living entity in such a way that he must exist in this material world in many, many forms. This is very dangerous. Now it is human life. Next lifetime, what is going to be? How do we know? One should therefore be brought to Sattvaguna by the establishment of Varnashrama Dharma and should develop the Brahminical qualifications of being very neat and clean, rising early in the morning and seeing Mangal Arati and so on. In this way, one should stay in Sattvaguna and then one cannot be influenced by Tamaguna and Rajaguna. The opportunity for this purification is this special feature of human life. In other lives, this is not possible. Such purification can be achieved very easily by Radha Krishna Bhajan, devotional service rendered to Radha and Krishna. And therefore, Narottam Das Thakur sings Hari Hari Vifale Janma Gunainu, indicating that unless one worships Radha Krishna, one's human form of life is wasted. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayatya Ashu Vairagyam. By engagement in the service of Vasudeva, one very quickly renounces material life. The members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, for example, being engaged in Vasudeva Bhakti, very quickly come to the stage of being nice Vaishnavas. So much so that people are surprised that Mlechas and Yavanas are able to come to this stage. This is possible by Vasudeva Bhakti. But if we do not come to the stage of Sattvaguna in this human life, then as Narottam Das Thakur sings, Hari Hari Vipale Janma Gunainu, there is no profit in gaining this human form of life. Sri Veera Raghava Acharya comments that each of the items mentioned in the first half of this verse is a cause for material entanglement. Kala, or the time factor, agitates the modes of material nature. The Svabhava is the result of association with the modes. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur says, Bhakti Sanevas. If one associates with Bhaktas, then one's Svabhava or nature will change. Our Krishna Consciousness Movement is meant to give people good association so that this change may take place. And we actually see that by this method, people all over the world are gradually becoming devotees. Now, to give association to each other, then we first need to strive that we want to achieve that association, we want to accept it, and we want to change. If we don't want to change, we will not change. So we are in the Dham, we are the association of the devotees, we are worshipping the deities, reading Shrimad Bhagavatam. So, what's missing? Everything is here. We just need to take advantage of that form of human, the human form of life, and that we need to now associate with each other as sadhu sangha. So, Srila Rupa Goswami gave us very clear instructions and nectar of instructions. We know what we should do. The first verse is about how to control senses so then you can avoid the effect of the Rajaguna and Tamaguna. Then, what is unfavorable and favorable for devotional service? And by the developing the association of devotees, then we will be able to achieve devotional service. In the human form of life, one has this chance. But as Narottam Das Thakur sings, Hari Hari Vipale Janma Gunainu, if one fails to take advantage of this opportunity, one's human life is wasted. We are therefore trying to save human society from degradation and actually elevate people to the higher nature. That's Srila Prabhupada's compassion. He is trying his best. Are we trying our best to take it? As for karma and karma, desires and activities, if one engages in devotional service, one develops a different nature than if one engages in activities of sense gratification. And of course, the result is also different. According to the association of different natures, one receives a particular type of body, karanam guna sango siyasat asat yoni janmasu. Therefore, we should always see good association, the association of devotees. Then our life will be successful. A man is known by his company. If one has the chance to live in the good association of devotees, one is able to cultivate knowledge, and naturally, one's character and or nature will change for one's eternal benefit. Okay, then next one. It's from the verse 57, same chapter. Now, try to see the compassion of Srila Prabhupada. Especially these purports, the intensity of how he stressed that we need to associate, we need to cooperate, we need to surrender, fully surrender to the Lord. It's very, very strong. Brahma was mystified about Krishna's opulence, Nija Mahimani, because this opulence was atarkya or inconceivable. With one's limited senses, one cannot argue about that which is inconceivable. Therefore, the inconceivable is called achintya, that which is beyond chintya, or thoughts and arguments. Achintya refers to that which we cannot contemplate but have to accept. Srila Jiva Goswami has said that unless we accept achintya in the Supreme, we cannot accommodate the conception of God. This must be understood. Therefore, we say that the words of Shastra should be taken as they are, without change, since they are beyond our arguments. Achintya kalau ye bhava natams tarkena yojayet. That which is achintya cannot be ascertained by argument. People generally argue, but our progress is not to argue, but to accept the very knowledge as it is. When Krishna says, this is superior and this is inferior, we accept what he says. It is not that we argue. Why is this superior and this inferior? If one argues for him, the knowledge is lost. This path of acceptance is called avaroha pantha. The word avaroha is related to the word avatar, which means that which descends. The materialists want to understand everything by the aroha pantha, the argument and reasons, but transcendental masters cannot be understood in this way. Transcendental matters cannot be understood in this way. Rather, one must follow the avaroha pantha, the process of descending knowledge. Therefore, one must accept the parampara system, and the best parampara is that which extends from Krishna, evam parampara praptam. That what Krishna says, we should accept, imam raja sayo vidhu. This is called the avaroha pantha. Brahma, however, adopted the aroha pantha. He wanted to understand Krishna's mystic power by his own limited conceivable power, and therefore he was mystified. Everyone wants to take pleasure in his own knowledge, thinking, I know something. But in the presence of Krishna, this conception cannot stand. For one cannot bring Krishna within the limitation of Prakriti. One must submit. There is no alternative. Natam starkena yojayet. This submission marks the difference between Krishnaites and Mayavadis. Okay, and then I have last one. That's from the verse 60. Okay, so if we do understand all this, if we do realize who we are, and we understand how to accept the
parampara, how to accept the instructions from parampara, instructions of Krishna, then what is the result? The word vana means forest. We are afraid of the forest and do not wish to go there. But in Vrindavan, the forest animals are as good as demigods, for they have no envy. Even in this material world, in the forest, that animal lives together, and when they go to drink water, they do not attack anyone. Envy develops because of sense gratification. But in Vrindavan, there is no sense gratification, for the only aim is Krishna satisfaction. Even in this material world, the animals in Vrindavan are not envious of the sadhus who live there. The sadhus keep cows and supply milk to the tigers, saying, "Come here and take a little milk." This envy and malice are known in Vrindavan. That is the difference between Vrindavan and the ordinary world. We are horrified to hear the name of Vana, the forest. But in Vrindavan, there is no such horror. Everyone there is happy by pleasing Krishna. Whether Goswami or a tiger or other ferocious animal, everyone's business is the same, to please Krishna. Even the tigers are also devotees. This is the specific qualification of Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, everyone is happy. The calf is happy, the cat is happy, the dog is happy, the man is happy. Everyone wants to serve Krishna in a different capacity. And thus, there is no envy. One may sometimes think that the monkeys in Vrindavan are envious because they cause mischief and steal food. But in Vrindavan, we find that the monkeys are allowed to take butter which Krishna himself distributes. Krishna personally demonstrates that everyone has the right to live. This is Vrindavan life. Why should I live and you die? No, that is material life. The inhabitants of Vrindavan think, whatever is given by Krishna, let us divide it as prasad and eat. This mentality cannot appear all of a sudden, but it will be gradually developed with Krishna consciousness. By sadhana, one cannot come to this platform. By sadhana, one can come to this platform. Sorry. My fault. It's very important. So, what is Vrindavan? Vrindavan is not just a place. It's not just a spiritual world. The spiritual world is the mood of the Lord and the devotees who are serving the Lord in various capacities. That's Vrindavan. And so no envy. There is no envy between the animals or anybody else. Everybody is serving Krishna. Everybody understands that. And everybody is helping each other to serve Krishna better. Do we always endeavor for that? As much as we do, that much we are approaching Vrindavan. But as much as we keep the lust, greed, envy, jealousy, then we are away from Vrindavan. In the material world, one may collect funds all over the world in order to distribute food freely. Yet those to whom the food is given may not even feel appreciated. The value of Krishna consciousness, however, will gradually be very much appreciated. For instance, in the article about temple of the Hare Krishna movement in Durban, South Africa, the Durban Post reported, "All the devotees here are very active in the service of Lord Krishna. And the results are obvious to see: happiness, good health, peace of mind,
and the development of all good qualities. This is the nature of Vrindavan. Hara abhaktasya kuto mahadgunaha. Without Krishna consciousness, happiness is impossible. One may struggle, but one cannot have happiness. We are therefore trying to give human society the opportunity for a life of happiness, good health, peace of mind, and all good qualities through God consciousness. Now, this is the desire of Srila Prabhupada. This is what he really wants. To spread the holy name every town and village. Why the holy name? Why to spread it? So that everybody can take the opportunity to become Krishna conscious. Why to become Krishna conscious? To be able to achieve Vrindavan. Because this is actually the jiva swabhava, the real nature. Now, we all are assembled here in the Sri Ram Mayapur. We have some services. We are able to somehow or other serve Krishna. We should be very much happy that we can perform any way, any service. And more than that, we should be very appreciative of others doing any other services. We should not be envious, jealous. We should be very careful to control our senses, to do what we are supposed to do according to Guru Sadhu Shastra. Then Vrindavan is our destination. But if we are not trying, if we are maintaining our own false ego, trying to enjoy, so as Srila Prabhupada said, what is this, you know, the sense gratification leads to? To envy. So there is no possibility otherwise than to fully surrender to the Lord. Now, Srila Prabhupada, he very intensely stresses this point in his purpose, and especially in this chapter. So let's take it more seriously. Maybe we can improve on our japa. We can always improve onto something. How to deal with devotees through Jarati Pratigrihnati principles. Associating with devotees. And avoiding association of those who are inimical towards devotional service. So let's try to do something so then we can spread the Krishna consciousness all over the world. Great opportunity is coming, right? Now it's Kartik Purnima is coming. So if we make this as a wish, Krishna and Srimati Radharani will fulfill this wish very, very sincerely. Okay, any questions to any of these points? Yes, my sister. Sir, oh. Anything? Yes. Rasa Purnima? Okay. Well, it's a time when Krishna is having
Rasa Lila. So therefore, no, the night is very joyful for the Lord. In nowadays, especially, is celebrated. So the streets of Navadvip, everything will be completely full the whole night. And what we should do at that time, because Krishna is in the mood of great enjoyment, then we can serve him in a way that we can cook a sweet rice and put it on the roof of the house. No, so then it's the moonlight shines on it, and that way Krishna, wherever he wants, he can accept it. That because he is going to become hungry. And then that way we can serve him in his pastimes. So if we do that, he is very, very pleased. So if we have some transcendental desire, something we want to ask, so we can improve our service towards him, it will not go unfulfilled. The only condition is that we have to be sincere. We should not ask any ordinary matters. It should be with full sincerity, asking how to improve our devotional service. We can ask about how to avoid offenses against the holy name. How we can avoid Vaishnava Parag. How we can become more attentive while chanting the holy name. Those are the most, the most prominent apparatus. But unfortunately, they are also the most heavy ones. So, if we can take the opportunity of the Rasa Purnima and try to meditate on how we can serve the Lord, not how we can enjoy, leave that as a secondary. That we may think about the sweet rice prasad next morning. Leave it for the morning. So if we can maintain the consciousness of Krishna consciousness, fully absorbed on the service of the Lord, we can take service here in the temple or do something at home or cook the sweet rice very wonderfully. It can be anything. We can invite the devotees for prasad. We can do so many wonderful activities, but we should take it very seriously in the mood of we want to serve the Lord. There is no way that the heart will not change. That's what we can do. Yes. Maybe that's when Krishna comes in front of the moon. I don't know. Why not? It won't affect Krishna. And Krishna is going to have his pastimes anyway. What do you think?
According to the Smarta Vidhi, then nobody cooks that time. So this is a bad influence of the Rahul, is there? Everything stops, the puja stops until everything is passed and they cook everything again, they clean everything, they clean the floors, the temple with panchakavya, cow dung. Then they cook again and start off after the eclipse has vanished.
It's definitely.
I heard from 5 to 10. Radhamada would be out on the elephant. But I heard Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that for the devotees, he said the service never stops under any condition. He said, let the smartest follow their rules and regulations. But for as far as we are concerned, we will, that will always go on under any condition.
Haribo. Thank you. Yes. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Master, for the class. At some point, Srila Prabhupada, one of the purports you're reading, I don't remember which one, he mentions about Varnashram and how it helps in our Krishna consciousness to reach the ultimate destination. So, Mashai, and Srila Prabhupada, he established the ashram, but he left the more, he established the spiritual, like, and he left the Varnashram for us to establish properly. So can you, like, help us understand how and what we can do that, like, in our society?
So Srila Prabhupada, no, he wanted to establish a system which it's a bona fide system which it's given by Krishna, and the system, the social order, right? So, and that's Varna and Ashram. It's given by Krishna, and it's perfect order in the society. The ashramas, or the brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyasi, these are the spiritual orders. And the varnas, or the shudra, vaishya, kshatriya, and brahmana, those are the occupations. So out of these, the spiritual orders are more important. We need to understand how it works. So a student, a brahmachari, then he engages in pranipata pariprashna sevaya. So by the full surrender then to guru, then he receives his instruction by questioning. He asks questions. And how he gets the inspiration for the questions is by the service. Service unto the Lord, service unto the Guru. So then, when he is purified by this process, so then that may be his way how we can achieve the Lord. He realizes the Lord, just by being a brahmachari. Now, if there are still some traces of anarthas, then he still need to get the realization that we are not this body. So then if brahmachari can realize it by following the duties of the brahmachari, that's great. But if one still needs to realize it by experience, then he may enter into Grihastha Ashram. Nonetheless, in the Grihastha Ashram, only those who were proper brahmacharis can be proper Grihasthas. So still, the system of brahmacharya stays. And as Srila Prabhupada says, actually proper Grihastha, he is a Grihastha brahmachari. He may have sex, but only for procreation. So there is some allowance for some gratification, but it's restricted. Those who feel to gratify the senses unrestricted way, they are Grihamedis. And as such, not part of the Varnashrama system. Because the Grihamedi, the goal of Grihamedi is not achieving the goal. The goal of Grihamedi is to enjoy one's own body. Either oneself or just extended. But
nothing really to do with the Lord. So therefore, strictly Grihastha. Now, the Grihastha, what he does by following his duties, he takes care of the family, he properly does the duties of the Grihastha, he serves in the capacity, he sees what needs to be done for his wife, for the children, for the household, and he takes care. Not that he provides money and say, okay, now you take care and I'm just going to now do what I want. No, he must be active in the role of being husband. Then, by that way, then, of course, frustration comes because nothing in the material world is perfect. But that frustration is the part of the realization what needs to be done. So what is the next step? From after Grihastha, then he is able to renounce this material world. But not artificially. It comes as a realization. So then Vanaprastha, then the wife and husband, they still may live together, but they refrain from any sex activities and they refrain from any like social activities. They live very, together, and they study Shastra. They practice much more devotional service. And then, if it's good, I mean the Grihastha then can the Vanaprastha, he can accept sannyas and preach all over the world when his time comes. But it is necessary that the renunciation is there. Otherwise, if we are attached to the body, to the activities of Grihastha ashram, then we will not be able to realize how to go back to Godhead. Now, it is also very essential now to understand that what actually the Grihastha ashram is for. It's for this realization. And to get this realization, we must perform the activities the best we can. We must perform these activities with full attention and not being complacent. Example, you have a children. So as a Grihastha, you are responsible for taking care of your children. Now, if you do so, then the children grow up to be nice Krishna conscious children. You, because you had done the best what you could, you are satisfied, and because of that, the renunciation of the Grihastha ashram is much easier. Now, if you don't do your duties well, and it turns that the children don't become so good, then what happens? In the heart, we start to feel a guilt. They are not properly trained because of me. I did not do my best what I could have done. Now, this leads to dissatisfaction. And we may start to think, I want to change it, I want to fix it. What can I do? If the children are grown up, there's nothing really we can do about it. Now, okay, so whose fault is this? Oh, it's not my fault, it's her fault. Okay, I divorce and marry another one. The same problem will be there. We are not introspective. We are not looking into what we are supposed to do. So then, once we figure out, it's not anybody else's fault, it's our fault. If we do our best to actually see that our duty is to serve Krishna, serve the devotees. And as a Grihastha, then we may have a duty serving the children. So then we will gain the full satisfaction. With the full satisfaction, we can renounce the material world when it will be necessary. But if we feel that we had not done everything what we could have, then there is a good chance we will not be able to renounce it because of the guilt. I felt I didn't enjoy enough because I did this wrong, that wrong. The mentality will be very difficult to give up because we didn't realize it yet. But that's not necessary. Just follow your duties of what you need to. You will realize it. You will be able to go back to God this very lifetime. And regarding varnas, there are according to one's nature. We are all following Brahmanic culture, as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purports. That's important. That means that everybody gets up in the morning, everybody takes bath, everybody chants his rounds, everybody goes for Mangala Arati, everybody listens to Srimad Bhagavatam. Whatever we know, eat, we offer and offer to the Lord. These are Brahmanic activities, not other activities. But as according to our nature, we may have a nature of a Brahmana or of a Kshatriya or of a Vaishya or Shudra. So therefore we may perform this, but it doesn't change anything on that we are a devotee and we are following the Brahmanic culture. So for the sake of just because it's our nature, we may take out the cows or do some labor work. That's not a problem. If we are doing it happily, we are offering it to the Lord as our service, there is no problem whatsoever. And as Krishna says, it's better to do one's own duty, even though not perfectly, than somebody else's, even though perfectly. So we have to understand what is our svabhava, the nature. And the nature may change. So we may join as devotees and we may be washing pots in the restaurant, right? It's not very Brahminical. But it purifies. So and it may change. According to the qualification, according to the change by association with devotees, it may change. But even if it doesn't, and even if the person remains and the whole life he washes pots for the devotees, for the Lord, what's the problem? I know one devotee and all he does is he just cleans the temple. That's what he does. The whole day he just cleans temple, cleans the rooms. There are plenty of them. And then he's very happy. And everybody else is very happy with his service because he keeps the temple clean. He is very Krishna conscious. And what he does? Shudra job. But he is a real Vaishnava. The consciousness matters, nothing else. So it doesn't matter. And the designation doesn't matter which name you put to what. As long as it's offered as a devotional service. If it's offered as an envy, I don't want to be called Shudra. I want to be Brahmana because he is also, I'm envying him, so therefore I also act like that. You cannot do it. It's going to be a show. And even though you may put up show for anybody else, but not for Krishna, but the same person, if he would engage in the activities, say of Shudra, he will achieve perfection. So it's not by which name we put to it, the activity which we do. It's all devotional service. Or is it? Are we doing everything as devotional service? Here is the problem. If we do offer it to Krishna as devotional service, any activity, it's perfect. If we think that it's us who is doing it, we are the doers, and we want to be be recognized as the doer. It's not devotional service. Maybe some sakama, mixed devotional service. But Vrindavan is pure analog devotional service. That's what we need to get. Pure unalloyed. So let's little contemplate. Let's see our own engagement, our own nature. And according to that, desire to be engaged, so then you can achieve perfection. Shyamananda Pandit, by sweeping in Vrindavan, he had gotten darshan of Srimati Radharani. How is it possible? Shudrajo, right? How is it possible? Pure devotional service. That's the answer. So, we can all do it, but we should be cooperative. That's what Srila Prabhupada wants. In his seven purposes of ISKCON, he keeps repeating education and cooperation among devotees. Cooperation keeps the society very strong. And as Srila Prabhupada points out, the movement, the Hare Krishna movement, is incarnation of the Holy Name. So we should take it seriously. By pleasing the devotees, pleasing Srila Prabhupada, we can definitely please Krishna. And then how do we know how to please devotees? Maybe we are ignorant. So how do we know? Then Upadeshamrita explains. You take care of your own needs, right? Whatever it's there. So you need to take care of your mind, your senses. And Dharati Prati Grihnati, Guhyam Akhiti Prichati, Gungte Bojayate. These are the activities by which we can establish the relationship among the devotees and between the devotee and the Lord. Anything else? Okay, so we'll end here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Paramananda.